In this episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast, the one episode with Brittany Turner is just not even going to scratch the surface. So I don't know. We could have her on for 10 episodes and it just wouldn't cover enough. She's been through a ton and, you know, her story is amazing. She has 7 companies now. Through real estate and business and entrepreneurship, she's been able to impact people across the world. And I don't say that like she's just written a check to somebody in Africa or something. She's actually actively been saving lives and teaching people to save lives and healing, you know, U.S. military veterans and addressing and you know, in some large ways, fixing and saving people from sex trafficking, poverty, you know, all kinds of problems across the world. They do disaster relief immediately after disasters that are happening in other countries and other continents. And this is all possible because she thought big and thinks big, but also takes action. And the biggest takeaway for me really in this one is the fact that, you know, she's not someone who just talks a big game. She was able to purchase her, she lives on her own island. She just bought an island. I say just, she said it took 5 years to buy the island, but, and this is not, it's not an island that she just sits on and counts her pennies from. It's her whole intent is to impact people for good through real estate, entrepreneurship. She's, you know, just impacting the world. She's a force for good, and it's incredible. I know you're going to love it.
From Adversity to Abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and today I have the honor of being joined by Brittany Turner of Aerial Group. Brittany, how are you doing?
Hi, great. Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Yeah, and you already told me, but for the audience, can you tell us where you're dialing in from?
I am calling in from the beautiful British Virgin Islands, where it is
that
another
is awesome.
Perfect day.
That's fantastic. And I guess you've kind of made that your home. Is that right? Is that where you,
live? I'm actually calling in from my island, which is in the BVI, and it is called the Aerial BVI on Buck Island.
And it's so cool.
It's been amazing. So yeah, I'll give you a little background. I wanted to be a missionary since I was 12 years old. I went on a ton of mission trips all throughout high school. I'd work 5 jobs at a time to save to go on these trips. I had a huge passion for helping people. And I went on these trips and realized I wasn't really changing life for people. Yes, we'd feed them for a day or we'd build a school, but they're still suffering. You know, they're still having to do terrible things because they have no other opportunities. And when you meet parents that have actually sold their kids, it's something you can't unsee. Or when you meet kids that have been sold, my purpose became really clear. So yes, I'm calling you from an absolutely beautiful, what looks like absolutely paradise. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to the story. And if we can get anything today on your podcast, you know, it's just a powerful message that you're looking to share. And I want to encourage all of you listening to this, that you absolutely, you absolutely can go from this, because I started my career living in my car and built all these businesses in alignment with my purpose.
So you weren't just handed an island and went from there. For the listeners, who are you today? And then we'll jump back into your backstory. What do you have going on kind of today?
So today I get to live on this beautiful private island in the BVI, which it's not just an island and it's not just my house. We actually have a resort here that creates these amazing healing experiences where people come and they find their purpose. It's unlike anywhere I've ever met in the world. I mean, people come here and they find exactly what they're needing in life and they find center, and then they actually go forth and make the difference that they're called to in their life. And it almost sounds weird, but you have to come try it. You have to. Every single thing is so intentional, from the way we integrated with nature to the food that heals you from the inside out, to the activities and the ability to connect to our equine therapy that's on island. And we have over 17 horses and zebras and turtles and peacocks that are here that were all rescues. And so when you can come see redemption in every layer, when you can come breathe again in an inspiring atmosphere, and you can start to connect to the things that matter most to you and other people that care about changing the world, then you'll start activating into your purpose. And my career, like we were talking about, started with wanting to help children in desperate areas. But as I've gone all over the world on these mission trips, I realized it's going to have to take a lot more than me. Because if you drive through 8 hours of slums, it's going to take a whole lot more than Brittany Turner and any wealth I could ever build to actually create opportunity in places that don't have the basics. Some places in Honduras, I've met with nonprofits, their entire life mission is to get people up to the poverty line, because there's another layer in Honduras below poverty called miserable. And they just want to get people up to the poverty line. And I'm like, and poverty in Honduras is different than poverty in America. So the island is designed to find other people again, help you heal so that you have the ability to give to others. You start attracting the abundance to get past living just paycheck to paycheck, and you can help solve the needs of the world. And so that looks like this amazing, beautiful picture, but there's even so much more behind it. So I spend about 50% of my time in developing nations, getting to work on these different hand up programs that my husband and I are building or have built, wiping out poverty, creating jobs, and doing these emergency rescue missions after disaster. So we have disaster all the way through redevelopment that our nonprofit is involved in, not just saving lives, but rebuilding livelihoods. So again, you can address poverty at its root. And so it's so amazing and so rewarding, but it took my real estate estate business being successful and mindful and intentional purpose to ever get here.
That's exactly what I want to focus on. That's really good. And to be clear, I told you before we hit record, I heard you on another podcast, and I mean, and I'm not just saying this, I was just blown away by what you all are doing. And I just, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm trying to figure out what's for dinner versus trying to stop human trafficking or something like, so, and again, not trying to compare, but it was just amazing. Just the fact that you've even set your goals that high and that what you've been able to accomplish. So let's dive into your backstory, and you can start, you know, wherever you want. But trying to focus on some of the adversity that you've been through. And I know that we've all been through adversity. We're all going to face more adversity, right? It's not, we don't pretend on this show that it's, oh, we had adversity, now we have abundance. And it's not like that. We don't just flip a switch. But we want to walk through kind of your journey on that, you know, from moving from through adversity and getting to abundance, talk about your real estate and that kind of thing. So what jumps out to you as a good starting point?
I think the starting point is knowing knowing those desires that are in your heart, even as a kid, mm-hmm. is really important because everybody's called to something different. And sure. my pillar of the difference I wanted to make in the world was to serve those in extreme desperation. And other people are called to put more art in high schools, and other sure. people are called to like make sure that Little League is the best Little League in the world. And like, and you have right. got to be confident in being like the best mom or dad, whatever it is. Get confident and know that those desires are in your heart for a reason, mm-hmm. and then start designing a life to make that reality. And one of the best ways you can do that is to write your eulogy. And the reason okay. that is such a powerful exercise is it is the only thing guaranteed in your life is that you're going to freaking die. You're going to die. Sure. And so just like those with terminal illness, things become really clear, really fast on what matters in life. Everything yeah. people sold you starts to go away, and it matters sure. to you. What do you want to be true in your one chance on earth? Now, I'm so blessed that at 17, I was in a class and somebody had me write that. So I was a very good kid, wanted to be a missionary because that's as big as I could dream. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't actually doing anything today that would make that story true. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to start with sharing that today because it was the guiding light in my life. And I update it every year because I learn more. And my dreams become bigger, just like Jamie was just saying. It's not about comparing. It's not about comparing. But when you can meet somebody who is doing more, you can ask yourself, can I do more?
Yeah.
Else is possible with my life. And my friends, thankfully, I've got some really cool billionaire neighbors who are like solving cancer. They are really lovingly hard on me, saying, Brittany, you only saved 1,000 people. I'm like, oh my God. Why are you not working on 20,000 people? Right, do you know right. how many people need your help? And I'm like, but when, because they believe in me and because they've set the standard, I now think it's possible for me, which means I'm going to do it.
Sure.
So, yeah. Confidence in your calling. Don't limit yourself based on who's around you. Have mm-hmm. people kicking your butt and or listen to them like this mm-hmm. podcast.
Yeah.
So they can reset what you think is normal, because you're only ever going to do what's normal.
So what comes to your mind as far as just some of the adversity, personal adversity that you've been through, whether it's financial, health, you know, any relationship, family, things that you've worked through over the years that were real challenges? What comes to mind?
I had that clarity of purpose, but I didn't have any funding for it. And this guy came into class, same classes I was in where the guy had me write my eulogy. Mm-hmm. He said, did you know you can buy a house with no money down? And I said, go on.
Tell me more.
He said, you rent that house out for $1,200 a month, but your mortgage is only $900 a month. That's a thing called cash flow. Yeah. And he said, if you do that 10 times, you can live in Africa and you don't have to ask anybody else for money. And I was like, I love that idea, because I spent so much time like begging. And I was like, I might as well just go make my own money. I can make my own money more than people ever donate. And so I loved that idea, but that idea was introduced to me in a year 2007. So I bought my first house at 18 and then Googled what colleges teach you how to flip houses, because I learned you can make like $10,000 flipping a house if you work hard enough. I'm a hard worker, raised on a farm. And no colleges taught you how to flip houses. So I said, okay, well, I guess I have to learn another way. That wasn't exactly popular with my family. I don't know if you guys have ever had anybody not approve. But I had to be willing to do what, or be willing to find a way to get educated in what I needed to learn, even though there was not a formal education for that, which is sad that there isn't. That just isn't.
Right.
So, absolutely. Again, my family stopped talking to me for almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
It's very hard because I'm one of six kids and we're very close. And my boyfriend was super mean. He's like, "This just, there's a reason 18-year-olds don't buy a house." And all my friends pretended like they didn't know me. And I was like, I'm doing orphans. I want to save orphans. So I ended up getting a job as a loan officer because the main guy said he would teach me how to flip houses. Again, 2008. Not one loan closed. I ended up in $45,000 of debt. And have to wait tables I'm working 12 hours a day, studying every real estate book I could possibly get my hands on, almost 10 hours a day, sleeping 2 hours ish every night. And
so was this debt, just curious, was this from just living expenses, or was this, how did the debt accumulate?
Yeah, it was just waiting for a loan to close and living off that credit card. Gotcha. I was not out shopping, don't worry. Not a shopper. Trying to pay my mortgage because my renters in the other bedrooms weren't paying their rent, and interest rates were, 7% back then. And so I'm surviving, waiting for something to break through. I'm learning everything I can, and I end up waiting tables. And extremely long story short, I got offered a job that I'd have to move to Nashville, place I'd never been, in 2 weeks. Well, I decided to kick my roommates out and rent the house out to these guys off Craigslist. I took a job that was less than $600 or $600 less than the minimums on my credit card. I moved to a place I don't know anybody. Family's like, "You're an idiot." Also, everybody's saying it's the worst time to get into real estate. It's 2008, 2009.
Sure.
Yeah, like, dumb. What are you doing? So I thought this was my big breakthrough. But instead, it ended up being the guy's like, "Well, I was supposed to be his assistant and he was going to teach me how to flip houses." He's like, "Well, nobody's able to flip houses right now and do well. So I'm doing away with your job position." The tenant's first month's rent check bounced. So now I have a mortgage. I have no income. I have all this debt, and I pay my freaking bills. Okay. With all this going on, I still found a way to pay my bills. It might be one credit card to another, but I paid them. And I couldn't tell my family. And so I ended up moving into my car. And I found these two guys the day I got fired that were actually flipping houses. And I said, "Can I work for you for free?" Because even though I had almost 3 years of like nothing working in my life, I knew that you still have to serve. Give first. You have to be a blessing for people to want to keep you around. And real estate's investing is really expensive to learn.
Sure.
So the only way I could learn is to work for free. So I worked 18 to 21 hours a day for them for 9 months, living in my car on and off, most of the time in my car, having creepy truck drivers banging on my window in the middle of the night in grocery store parking lots. And at the end of those 9 months, I'd made them like $300,000, and they never offered to pay me. It was just a...
And what was your role with them?
They wouldn't even talk to me the first like week. I just sat in the car. They let me sit in the car and I would listen to their problems. And I knew if I could make their life easier, they would keep me around. And so I'd take notes. He's really frustrated at his realtor. The realtor is not a hard enough worker. He's really frustrated at his contractor. He doesn't like this tile company. He needs more investors. He can't find enough deals. And so whatever he was frustrated about, I would ask some questions when he would ever give me any time on how to do those things. And I would take his order on like, here's what he expects, here's what he's getting. And I would try to fill the gap. And so I became his realtor and like all that. I just did everything I could for free to make their lives amazing.
So you were listening and solving problems. I mean, that's...
And people will keep you around if you make them much better.
Yeah.
So at the end of 9 months, they're like, "All right, you're ready to go do this on your own." And it's still going to sound easier than it was. It still was like months of suckiness and like terrible, everything going wrong, backstabbing, like all the, not them, but other people. Yeah. It's a sharky business.
Sure. But and this is one of the risks. Sorry to cut you off, but with this show, it's like we gloss over so much stuff and it's like, "Oh yeah, you know, I live it out of my car for 9 months. Oh, that's cool." But I mean, that was way more challenging than what
it was. Freaking cold. My car didn't heat. It was miserable. Wow. And it was like, there's so much more terrible things that went on that I will never have to tell you about. Like the shadiness of people, getting robbed, having houses. Like I had to put two guys in jail for trying to kill me. Like there's so much drama in that business, but the point was never, it was never about making money. And it was never about real estate. It was about getting back to these regions of the world where kids are going to be alive or dead if I do nothing.
And frankly, and I told you this before we hit record, I haven't said this per se on this show yet, but you know, I was the co-host of a mortgage note investing podcast, and it was great. The Good Deeds podcast. I recommend any mortgage note investors listen to it. Yeah. But I found that life is bigger than that. That's why I started this show, was to talk about things like this, where it's like your goals and your intention and the reason you were doing learning flipping or learning any strategy within real estate was to make money, to get funding, to do these mission trips, right? Which is considerably bigger than flipping a house or, you know, whatever the ARV is on a particular property. That's all important, and that's how you make money. But I love it. It's fantastic. So talk us through the next, you know, a few years, or how did you kind of transition from that rough period?
Well, I never got not rough. I'll just tell you that. It just got rougher in different ways.
Okay.
But yeah, it is perspective. Your problems change. It's not mo money, more problems. It's unless you made your money in terrible ways, then it comes back at you. It's mo money, different problems. And every day that I have different problems, I got somebody dump a boat in my bay, and the numbers to get it out, it's like $85,000, something insane. And I was like, and I was so annoyed because somebody just dumped it there instead of actually disposing of it properly. It was after the storm. And it's like, well, you get to have these kinds of problems.
Right.
You get to have these kinds of problems. And all of these are better than not being able to fill your gas tank up. I hated those. Sure. Yeah. I'll still pick these. Because it's not even that the problems aren't actually harder or bigger. It's that you're more confident in yourself. Mm-hmm. You're more confident that you have a track record of knowing you've gotten through that before. You can also get through this. Mm-hmm. God always makes a way. God always brings you through it. And it always ends up working out for your good. Mm-hmm. And instead of labeling things problems, mm-hmm. you can call them expansion tools, because they really are blessings made and designed for your expansion. So you can go to the level that you're asking to go to, because it makes you smarter. It makes you dive in. It makes you ask better questions. It makes you learn more, connect more, mm-hmm. talk to other people, listen to more podcasts, whatever it is to grow, to be able to handle those things. I'm not into like attracting extra problems, trying to cut back. Right. But I'm saying if you don't label them problems, then you're going to have a more joyful journey.
Sure.
And that is the biggest thing I wish I had understood earlier on, because I was upset thinking this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a good person making money for good.
Right.
Instead, I get to deal with these. I've been entrusted with these.
Yeah.
How can I be a leader amongst time? How can I help other people? How can I grow? What's the person I'm becoming? And am I fueling my life with anger and rage, which is my go-to? Or am I fueling it with purpose and remembering my why in a powerful way?
No, that's really good. And we've one of the major common themes that's come through all these episodes so far. This is episode 22. So through 21, now 22 episodes, one of the common themes has been just that, which is, okay, you may not see it in the moment that this is great. I'm so happy I'm going through this, you know, terrible time, this struggle, right? But over time, and it's different for everyone, it's every situation is different, but over time you look back and you see, because you've shifted your perspective, you see that actually that was a blessing. And because of that hardship I went through, all these personal growth or, you know, you're better off actually. And the other thing is you're able to focus on helping other people. That's the big one that I found through all of our guests, whether it's health challenges, financial challenges, I don't think we've had a single guest who hasn't mentioned, hey, I shifted my focus to others in order. And that's what really got me through this hard time and this adversity. So you're all about serving others. But it just, that's been a major takeaway for me personally is, look, yes, you do need to focus on yourself at some point, you know, and this is a real challenge that I'm going through. We're not saying it's not, but at some point to get past that and to think bigger, you've got to focus on serving others. And that's just been a big part of this show so far. So if you would, so take us through just kind of from, I guess, that flipping that initial real estate phase through today. And I know that's like a ton to cover, but so in real estate and business, kind of what it hit some of the highlights that you've worked through to get to today.
Yeah. So I was flipping houses to make money so that I could buy cash flowing assets so that I could move to Africa. That was my plan. And I didn't want to have to ask other people for money. So I went out on that journey again, started at the worst time you could get into real estate.
Yeah.
But in the process of flipping houses, I kept going back to Africa. And my mentor took me to one of his orphanage sites and showed me how these business guys who saw things they couldn't unsee, they designed an orphanage that was so beautiful and it was so inspiring that these kids they pulled out of garbage heaps were dreaming about being the president. These little girls were dreaming about being president of Kenya one day and having loving relationships and a family. And it was so cool to see the power of environment. And we went from that orphanage site to another one where I helped them do the land deal. And then I helped them do the site plan. And then I helped them recreate a family model versus warehousing children. And then we came up with enough cash flowing, I don't know if you want to call them assets, but like a garden that you not only feed the kids with and teach them skills, you can sell the extra in the marketplace and create cash flow to where that orphanage is self-sustainable. This is such an integral part of my journey because I went from trying to make cash flow to understanding that my skill set is how you solve poverty. Because I was actually mad at God a lot of my journey, thinking like, why am I learning real estate? Yeah, I'm flipping houses. What the heck does that have to do with Africa where I really want to be? Came back to the orphanage site that we had helped tie up a year later, which we hadn't even been able to break ground yet. It takes forever to get title there. I saw how the area we had picked because parents were selling their kids for $25, like forever, gone. They knew what was going to happen to them. Organ harvesting or sex trafficking. They picked that level of desperation area because of that poverty. All these businesses had moved in. And now it was one of the wealthiest areas within like a 10-mile radius. And we're like, what happened? It's because the Americans are investing there. People had the faith to start these like second branches of their companies or whatever, the little African companies. And I saw how real estate development can shift what's possible for communities. And I said, how can I start practicing in areas people don't believe in? Areas that are similar to this environment, areas that need help. How do I get people to believe in these broken places? Because if they believe in them, then opportunity will come and elevate the people up with dignity instead of gentrifying. It's mindful revitalization and giving the people who want it that chance to pull them.
You're getting the buy-in from the people who are already there as opposed to forcing change.
Well, it's not even buy-in. It's not them. It's that people bringing in the opportunities pick that spot.
Okay.
And so the people who live there get those opportunities versus having outside people have to move there necessarily.
Got it.
So
you there?
Go ahead. So I practiced in my own backyard. How do you take everything from a house to a street to a neighborhood and get opportunity to come to it through the revitalization? And it's mindful. Mindful sounds like a girly word. It's not. It's means to consider others, means to take all of it into account and care about it versus just taking the piece you need to be profitable. How can you be profitable while considering others and elevating everybody? And as much as that, again, takes a lot more effort. It's so amazingly worth it. And I never would have dreamed like people would bring us their deals because they demanded we're the only ones that give a crap about the community. Only we're the ones that are allowed to buy it, which was so cool. It was like this amazing blessing that came from having this like great heart. And so I actually went from, I don't know, we won Forbes' 6th fastest growing woman owned and woman led company. in the world in the next couple years. And then Fortune number 3, urban, fastest urban, male or female, fastest growing company in the nation. And a bunch of other really cool awards, like tons of Princeton Young. And I didn't even go to pick up half of them. Not that I'm rude, it's that I have met the kids that are suffering. And if I can impart anything to my listeners today, it's that your why can actually make you scale your business so much bigger than yourself. And you can tie purpose to every transaction. If you can start integrating your impact in small ways to where you can then be getting to do it full time, as you grow your company, your impact grows. Don't give away all your money tomorrow. Give proportionally, dedicate a portion of every transaction to the impact that you want to see in the world. And you're going to start having a reason to wake up in the morning. Mm. Every business gets old. Every business gets old. And so if you're feeling burned out, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to freaking hear it. I want to hear you start activating into your purpose better. Start integrating things you care about and thank God for the blessing of your business. Never curse it or whine about it, because gratitude is what leads to abundance. Being grateful for what you've already been given, you will be given more and more and more. But if you are selfish with that and you hoard it and you keep it and you're not a conduit for good to flow through you, you're not going to be given more. Mm-hmm. So start tapping into ways to being impactful with anything you've been given and you will be given more.
Wow. I am definitely going to have to listen to that last 2 minutes myself. But yeah, that was fantastic. So just for the listeners out there, and I know you're not saying you care about all these awards too much, but I'm on your website right now. And there's, I mean, there's a ton of awards that you and your team have earned. So I only bring that up to say, you're not just some person that's saying all this stuff. We should actually listen to you. You've actually accomplished quite a bit. And that's just these awards. But what you're saying is these awards mean nothing in comparison to your greater purpose in serving these kids, serving these impoverished communities, right? And so, I mean, it's just, yeah, I could go, there's so many ways we could go with this. So just to kind of like complete the, so as far as your real estate and your businesses, and what does that look like today? And what is your, you know, we don't have to get into like dollars and cents or number of units, but what is your kind of real estate or business look like today from a, if someone looked at it from the outside?
Yeah, I have 7 companies and all of them are force for good companies, which means we do good in the way we make our money. And then we do good with the money we make. And quite honestly, like, I just don't care otherwise. Like, I'm absolutely not motivated. I'm not one of those wake up driven people. But when you see a kid, can't speak because of the level of abuse they experienced as an infant, and it's, they're still going through that, like, you can't, nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. And thankfully I have been entrusted with amazing things, like a private island. That's really cool. But the private island is fully surrendered to making a difference in the world. And if I can orchestrate more good through this place than anywhere else, not a competition, but like, I want it to be that impactful. I want every element of it to be that impactful. I want people to come here and understand how powerful they are. Mm-hmm. Nothing pisses me off more than finding depressed Americans. Why are you living your life with so much access to?
Yeah, we're to totally spoiled.
Yet you're consumed with yourself. It's because you're not living your purpose. And I'm not mad at them for that. But I don't I don't like this privilege idea. There, with every ounce of what you have access to or were born into, it comes a responsibility. I'm not telling you to go give away all your money tomorrow. I'm saying understand the calling on your life and keep asking. Take that aerial perspective on your life. What is possible? What is all the good things that can happen through me if I so choose to activate into this instead of living a life of escaping, living a life of intentionality? Not one thing, but going towards something that matters, even if there are obstacles, even if there's adversity, there absolutely will be every day. And it's going to be dumb stuff to big stuff, but you've got to stay on track with that mission.
That's really good. So your question popped into my head. How does your, like how do you and your husband work from a business standpoint? You know, because I've worked with my spouse as far as on rental properties and our real estate and mortgage notes and things, and it can be challenging. Let's be honest. So I'm just curious, how do you break that out as far as what's your role, what's his role?
Wonderful question. I mean, I think the most important thing with any couple, period, whether or not you work together, is to find a way to view them as a blessing, not a burden. Because anything you view as a burden will get taken away from you, and or you will miss the blessing and life will suck. So every day that I start getting just annoyed at him, he's a blessing. How can I see that he's a blessing today? And again, an asset in your life. So for us, we have a really weird story on how we met. At an airport, he was in a wheelchair, just goofing off. Like I never thought we had any potential on actually being together. But the more we actually went overseas and served together, he was active duty, but we'd come on these disaster response trips with me. I saw him step into his purpose, and my life calling is to knock out sex trafficking as much as humanly possible. And the best way to do that I found is through economic development, giving people better opportunities than selling their kids. Let's just be real. That's like an amazing way to knock it out, because it just stops there. So I want to live in these developing nations and helping them. He has all the skills to navigate in austere environments. And so it was so interesting to see, because we go in after disasters, because people will, like, they need the help. It's an emergency. And they also, it's a nice time to like build trust, because I'm not always the right color. I'm not always the right gender. I'm not always the right age for people to just wake up and be like, I feel like listening to the best practices of recovery from this chick, you know? So, but when you really prove your heart to help, they listen. So anyway, how we work together is thankfully, God took me down this path of like some of the hardest ways to learn how to be successful in business at the same time as authentic with your mission to really help and serve at the same time as being able to be profitable by value creation, like through for good company creation. So I've got this awesome background in like making companies for real sustainable. And he has this amazing background. He's got over $10 million of training in him from the government, because he's special forces, that we now get to repurpose into saving lives. And so we've merged our life passions, and his big thing now that he's like awake and can see the opportunities that veterans can have versus your only opportunity is to stay in the military. That's what a lot of them are told. And I don't blame the military. They put a lot of money into them. They want to keep them there. So
yeah, absolutely.
But he wants them to see how many other people they can help after they retire. And so we have a Heal the Heroes program where we take these guys that don't see their purpose. They don't understand what they're capable of. And they go through this year-long healing program. And then on the other side, they have these crazy, amazing opportunities to give back, serve, teach, work with entrepreneurs, get these amazing jobs. It's been one of the most rewarding things that we do. So, and it's saved a ton of lives.
That's awesome. And it's, it, everything you're, I mean, it's always forward thinking, and it's, you know, you're not just teaching them, you're not just giving them a fish, right? You're teaching them to fish, right? And you're, it's bigger. So you're not only healing that veteran's life, but how many lives is that veteran then impacting in a positive way? That's awesome.
We've rescued over 5,500 people in Ukraine already. Over 900 of them are orphans that were trapped in bomb shelters. And our team, who's used to those environments, were able to go in without any weapons and conduct these rescue operations and getting these people to safety. So
that's amazing.
Crazy rewarding.
Yeah. I got a chance to work with some of the SF guys in Iraq, and they're just on a whole different level. It's pretty awesome. We were working to try to create a special forces battalion for within the Iraqi army. Now, I mean, it's a different just their army is very different than the US military. But yeah, it was, I mean, we did some missions with them. It was, I mean, phenomenal. Just, it's a whole different, it's mind blowing. They're just on a different level. And one of the things I took away was that they're always prepared. It never goes, I mean, this is more than one thing. It never goes the way they think it's going to.
Yeah.
Right. But they also travel really light. You mentioned no weapons. It's like we were all up armored and slow, and you know, they're just in and out and just very efficient. So that doesn't directly relate to the to what you just said, but it just I can just picture, you know, I can imagine what it's like on some level as far as you guys going in and serving.
Really, to answer your question though, is I had a clarity of purpose, and he had a clarity of purpose, and then you can start that way, and you can build a life with your significant other that harnesses each other's gifts, and then you're like this amazing force for good. Versus like, I see you and I kiss you when I get home. And even if you're in that relationship, how do you go deeper with it? How do you start asking more questions and helping your significant other find what they're passionate about, and then support it any way you can. Like, find a way to be a blessing, find a way to, instead of just, well, we live together, so she's my secretary and, or he pays for everything and I take care of it. Like, don't just coexist.
Sure. Yeah, it's bigger than that.
Amazing things in the world that you're in each other's life for a reason. Don't let it suck.
That's really good. So as we move toward the end of the show, I do have some kind of rapid fire questions that I'm going to throw at you, if you're okay with that. Is that all right?
Sure.
What's one thing that people misunderstand about you?
Oh man, I don't know about misunderstand. I think everybody typically assumes, until they know anything about me, that it's another daddy's money or divorce money or something, because I am a woman. And I blame women for that. We are so amazing. And there's so many women who've done incredible things, but we don't share it. And are 10 times more insecure than men on average. And the less women share through this false humility bullcrap, the less they share, the harder it's going to be for our daughters. Because until humans see that someone that looks like you can do this thing or in this industry, you will forever be, it's just not normal yet. And if it's not normal, then that doubt will make people have to work 10 times harder to prove it's possible. And so I'm not a whiny, women don't blah, blah, blah. I understand why people do that, but I'd rather just share what's possible through my life. But that does take intentionality. I do have haters. I have had people try to hurt me. And so I know why people hide, but stop hiding. If you have something amazing you're doing, be willing to share on behalf of humanity so that more people can be entrusted with more.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have any haters, you're probably not challenging yourself, probably not doing what you're called to do. So that's really good. Some people push back on the phrasing of this question, but what's one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from it? Failures, regrets, it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying you would go back and change it necessarily, but, something you've learned from, something you wouldn't repeat maybe.
I think it's something that's shown up many times in my life. I've learned the gift. I don't think at all I was born with this, but I can, through rehabbing, you can train yourself to see things done as if they already are. So you can walk in like the crappiest building full of like dog poop and you see a beautiful thing as if it, like, cause you're trained to think that way. Now I've taken that from a building to regions now, which is very cool, but I also do it with people. I can find the highest and best in everyone. And something to note is the best advice I think I've ever been given, which is to feed the hungry. Don't try to drag everybody with you. You can open doors, but you can't force people through them. And you see what's possible for someone. If they don't want it, then it could end up breaking your heart or stabbing you in the back. So my point is, just, you can speak life over people, but I've had a lot of people throughout my life just either stab me in the back or hurt me for even believing in them. And so just don't, it's a gift and a curse that you can see the best in everyone, but you have to just know humans are going to make their own decisions.
Right.
It shouldn't stop you from speaking life over them.
Right. You can't always control the outcome or other people's choices. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would you choose?
Other than Jesus, you mean?
No, it could be Jesus. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if he drank coffee. I don't think.
I but they have ice cream because I don't drink coffee.
Okay. If you could have ice cream with anyone. I mean, Jesus is a perfectly acceptable answer.
Jesus is a great answer. Other than Jesus, I would say Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, he's amazing. Absolutely. It's really good. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you've written, I don't know if you've written a book or anything, but if you had to write a book this year, what would it be about?
I am writing a book this year.
And okay.
This weekend, which I'm so excited about. There's a waiting list on my Instagram.
Okay.
Tree. So yeah, it's about being a force for good. And it is all 100% about how to be so clear on your why and that you can design a life to where everything flows in to being in alignment with that. Your body. Why do I want or need to be fit to where that fitness is bigger than me being fit? It's not about looks. It's about that. It's about my relationships have to align. They have to make sense. I cannot be friends with this person because it's not in alignment, you know? So having this amazing clarity, because when you have clarity, you can make decisions quickly. And that's how I won all those awards. I moved fast because I knew what to say no to. And it wasn't without obstacles. There's so much.
Right.
But you can move fast when you have clarity. And so that's what the book is about, is understanding how you really can be a force for good in the world and make a meaningful difference in your one chance.
What's the name of the book? Did you say it?
It's called Force for Good.
Force for Good. Okay. And it's not out yet, right?
Out yet.
Gotcha.
But I have we'll be the trademark. Don't worry.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, so much. You've dropped a ton of knowledge bombs and a ton of really good advice. I mean, that's such an understatement. These are like, it's so big. I definitely need to listen to this one again. what occupation would you try if you could just try any occupation that you're not involved with or haven't done before?
I don't know if it would be to get a job doing something else, but I am growing my medical education right now.
Okay.
So we have what's called a SOAR team, special operations advanced reconnaissance team for aerial recovery. We go in as soon as humanly possible, within a couple hours to 24 hours after disasters, depending on how far they are. And when I responded to the one in Haiti, this big 7.2 earthquake that happened last fall, I'm amazingly talented at identifying the issues and, like, as an entrepreneur, being able to figure them out and, like, master plan and tell everybody where they need to be. But when you can't help medically at the level you want to, it's like a kid's leg dangling off because you just pulled them out of rubble and they're screaming daddy and nobody has any pain meds in Haiti because the hospitals collapsed. And like it was so, we saved over 200 people's lives. My team was so amazing, but I want to advance my medical education so I can be even more helpful in the field and on those missions.
That's really good.
I've been passionate about it my whole life, but I went into business and real estate instead of getting medically educated. So
I'm
furthering that even more.
That's a great answer. So now, how do you stay aware of these, like, world events? I mean, this wasn't on my list of questions, but I mean, do you watch the news or how do you
stay when you're aware? In the world, you get notified immediately, but I also have the right apps. We have joint special operations centers that we have monitoring storms, monitoring earthquakes, monitoring tsunamis, monitoring tornadoes. Like, we have teams that work 24/7 monitoring these events around the world, but there's some pretty easy apps. Like, one is called My Radar. It's the bomb.
Yeah. Gotcha.
you can see exactly where it's tracking, what it's scaled, supposed to scale up to, where it's supposed to hit. Mm-hmm. And you can prepare. And then we have different deployment locations throughout America and the Caribbean to be able to go quick.
Now, it's, the reason I ask that is because, you know, a lot of people get stuck watching the news or consuming the mainstream media. And then it leads to, I think, maybe depression or something where, because personally, I made a shift in 2015, 2014 to kind of just turn all that off and just focus on what I can control. Now, that may seem smaller than what you're what you're working on, but it really elevated my mental health. And, you know, I guess that you know, just that balance of how you're obviously aware of what's going on with world events, whereas I feel like in some ways I'm not, because I'm trying to focus on what I can actually influence. And maybe this is a good challenge for me that I can influence more than I think I can.
I've never watched the news. I'll tell you that.
Gotcha.
Don't
start.
And if I've ever been by a TV that's playing the news, I've watched less than 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I will skim headlines to mm-hmm. be in the loop on like what other people are
sure.
consumed by, but you can either watch the news or you can make the news. You can watch TV or you can make TV. And that's the way that we actually weren't allowed to watch TV growing up unless we made it. So we grew up with a video camera in our hand, and it was really good. If you have kids out there, that was one of the best things my parents did, was say, which side of the TV do you want to live on? And do you want to have a life worth other people watching? Well, it takes getting out there and doing stuff. And so we had a lot of fun with home videos and things like that. But I think the lesson was powerful. You do need to know what is going on. If you're a stock trader, you need to definitely know what's going on, but you don't have to sit there and get engulfed in it, because you realize that the news is a for-profit business that gets paid more if they scare you enough to click it, then you can do it with the right filter versus actually believing it's that bad.
Yeah. So you don't have to bury your head in the sand, but you've got to be intentional about what you consume. Yeah, that's really good. So what's one, as we wrap up, what's one question you wish I'd asked that I haven't asked? Anything you want to touch on, or a direction your business is headed, or anything that we haven't covered?
I think it's not necessarily a question, but if there's someone listening to this that does want to learn how to, I have a business, for example, how do I actually make it a force for good? How do I even get clarity on my purpose or the kinds of impact that I want to be making? Everybody wants to make an impact, but if you don't have any clarity or direction on that, like, we can help you with that. And it is our privilege and our joy to light you on fire so that you can make the difference. Cause I can't do everything, and my team can't do everything. That's what we found is the most impactful thing I could actually spend my time on is creating this ripple effect through everybody doing their thing. As many people could possibly, like, whatever I've learned that could possibly help you, we will get. And so there's everything from, I have a podcast called Broke to Woke. We have very inexpensive courses. I have a mastermind called G-Force, which is Force for Good Entrepreneurs. And I also have immersive summits here on the island, which are life resets for people. And I never thought I would be a speaker, a teacher. And that's not how I even think of myself. It's what has worked, what has provenly worked, and how do we actually help other people know about that stuff? And that's it. I've never tried to be, I get paid for doing these things. Like, it's how can I empower other people to make a difference? And that's the way we think about it. So there's lots of different ways to start activating into it. And like I said, if there's something we have that can be of value to you, start diving in. It is your responsibility to take responsibility for your own life and your own impact. Nobody in the world is ever going to care about you in the way that you need to care about you.
That's a good point. Now, I gotta say, it's just the way you, trying to think how to phrase this. It's, I mean, you have people who talk a big game, right, and think big as well, and you know, want to solve big worldwide problems, but they don't actually know how to take practical, tactical steps to make that happen. And I don't know. Somehow you and your husband, your team has just been able to do all of the above. So it's really inspiring, and it's encouraging to me and hopefully for our listeners that you can think bigger and you actually can solve problems. You can actually get, it's not an either or. You can do more if you have clarity of purpose. That's, for me, the biggest takeaway from this episode is all about clarity of purpose. And this has been, Brittany, this has been fantastic.
You mentioned
a couple places our listeners can find you online. Do you want to highlight any others?
Yes, arielbvi.com is the island website, gforcemastermind.com, brittanyturner.com probably has it all. And then the podcast is called Broke to Woke, and it's on all the podcast platforms. But I look forward to getting to know you even more. And again, thank you for having me. And hopefully,
absolutely,
I'll see some of y'all here.
Wow. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Brittany. Really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, so really appreciate it. And to our listeners out there, thank you so much for spending your time with us. We know that's also a very valuable resource. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.